Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I know I've said it before, and sometimes I feel like a broken record. And in this case, it's a positive thing. But the weeks either crawl or fly by. Sometimes it's both at the same time, which is weird and very oxymoronish. That's not a word, but you know what I mean. So I can't decide if they're crawling or flying, but I do know that this is the final few days of May, which is cray. My nieces tell me I should never say that word ever. Auntie Amy, don't say that. It's like when I tell them I have street cred, and they're like, Auntie Amy, don't say that either. It's okay. I like to embarrass them. So here we are on May 28th. Happy birthday to my Auntie Karen, who is in Tucson. And as we finish the show up, we'll be launching you forward into May 29th. So that means by the time we get back together, because this is the end of our work week, it will be the final few hours of the month of May. Boom! Seriously. I don't know. You tell me. Do you think this spring is crawling or flying? That's what I need, some perspective. I need someone else's perspective, because right now I have lost all perspective. This is what happens when you are sitting in your spare bedroom staring into a corner painted green.
Can't do it.
There are birthday cards here now. Birthday cards and another card that's really sweet. I suppose I had a few friends send me cards for congratulations for getting my house and some happy moving. Moving is never happy, so I'm not really sure what those kind of cards are about. But I did have some people send me cards for that, too. So I suppose I could put more up. But why should I hang things on the walls when I'm getting ready to take things down off the walls? Yeah, no need to make more work for myself. So I don't know. What do you think? Is it flying or is it crawling? We're now into week 10 of hosting the show from home. And producer Chris is with us in the control room. Chris, I did not tell you this. This is rather depressing. But I got an email from our boss on Thursday that said, and I quote, "Maybe I'll see you in the fall." Exactly. I almost threw the phone across the room. I didn't know whether to cry or yell. It's kind of like when I get road rage. I don't know whether to cry and scream or like yell. So, yeah, I think what he mostly meant was he's considered at risk. He's a cancer survivor and he's older. So maybe he won't be back in studio. But I might have quit by then. I don't think I could do my show in a closet from three more months. I don't think I can.
Poop fest.
Wait, is that what you think the show is? Richard Sherman, ouch. Speaking of Richard Sherman, former teammates, he and Cliff Averill with the Seattle Seahawks, and Cliff will join us on this edition of After Hours. And Cliff is in Seattle, where so this is the crazy part about Cliff. We last had him on the show during Super Bowl week in Miami. At the beginning of, well, it was actually at the end of January. So we're talking about 4 months since then. And you think about what has changed in the 4 months since the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that the coronavirus and the pandemic wasn't a thought, because at that point it definitely was. It was all the rage in China, and there were a couple of other Asian countries that were dealing with it, but we didn't realize it was going to be like it is now, or like it's been with the United States. And so it's kind of crazy to think about everything that's happened in the 4 months. But Cliff Averill will be on the show in the next, we'll talk to him next hour. Thanks so much for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we will do the latest Hall of Flame, not Hall of Fame, Hall of Flame induction on this edition of the show. It has been forever. I don't remember the last time we did a Hall of Flame induction. Producer Chris, do you remember who was the last inductee to the After Hours Hall of Flame?
I sure do, because I edited it earlier this evening.
You edited it?
I edited it.
So who was it?
Mr. Coach Mike Leach.
Oh, he was making fun of someone, wasn't he? The last After Hours Hall of Flame induction was months ago, because we haven't had one for sure since I've been in the After Hours super secret home base. And so we decided we've got some good candidates. And so we'll present those candidates coming up next hour, and you get to decide the latest inductee. We don't have to cancel this Hall of Flame induction. We're doing it according to all of the rules of the pandemic and the state of emergency. But you get to induct. It's not one of those inductions where people want to show up and get congratulated. Though one time, this is really cool, we put Jim Cantore into the After Hours Hall of Flame for his epic freakout over Thundersnow. And he joined us live on air when we inducted him to the Hall of Flame. It was really cool. We've not had that with any of our other inductees, but it was pretty awesome to have him on the show.
We're talking about practice.
So we will get to the latest Hall of Flame induction, which I'm pretty excited about. It is my favorite feature that we do on the show. It was a complete and total accident. I stumbled upon it. It goes back probably 4 or 5 years now. I don't remember exactly when, but I love the Hall of Flame induction. So we'll do that. We've got four funny candidates for you. We try to get funny. And generally, if you get bleeped a bunch, well, then you end up as a candidate. It's just, it's kind of a direct correlation. So we are off and running final 4 hours of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You will need Twitter or Facebook to be able to vote for the Hall of Flame induction. Don't get it wrong. I sometimes do, but it's Hall of Flame. And then our Facebook page is named after the show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Before we talk about the latest in sports, I want to say something just briefly. Like you, as Americans, most of us Americans, we are aware of what else is going on in our nation. There's a lot going on in our nation. It's emotional, and it's heavy, and it's disturbing, and I mean all of it. Some of you have found me on social media to ask me why I'm not talking about it. There are many reasons. I won't go into all of them. Primarily, the reason that I do not and will not on this show be spending time talking about what else is happening in our nation today, tonight, is because I have a job to do which revolves around entertainment. Now, does everything that I talk about on the show entertain you? No. There are times when we talk about heavier topics. There are times when we've had mass shootings that were unfolding while I was on the air. There are times when I have talked about other events in our nation. In this particular case, this is more about your host and also about the job, but I can't, I know me. I can't do the job that I'm hired to do if I start talking about what else is happening in our nation right now. Similar to everything we've gone through over the past few months with all of the deaths that have taken place with the coronavirus. If I spend time talking about it, I get so emotional that I can't then do my job. And for those of you who know me, you know that it's not because I don't care. It's not because I'm unaware. I'm not oblivious. But I am also not a person who can, I can separate head and heart when it comes to rooting interest for a sports team, because sports, the games themselves don't matter. As we're finding out this spring, the business of sports matters to our economy, to families, to people who rely upon sports for their livelihood. The games themselves, they don't. They're great. They're fun. We like the distraction and the entertainment, but they don't matter. And so there are times when I get caught up and I feel guilty talking about sports when there are other far more pressing and important events taking place in our nation. I have wrestled with it just over the course of the last couple of months. How can I come on the radio and talk about sports when there are people dying because of this virus that's spreading, when people are losing their jobs, when people are unable to feed their families because they don't have the money, when they are, I mean, there's so many things that have happened over the last couple months that are sad and tragic and scary, and they cause us to be anxious. And every night I come on the air and I try to start my show with good news. And so I understand there are times when that makes me sound like I am A, oblivious, or B, have my head in the clouds and couldn't care less. I can't do anything about that. If that's what you think of me, there's nothing I can do about it. But I also know that my job is different. There's a reason I don't work in news anymore. I did when I started my career. There are times when I have to talk about really heavy events and tragedies. It's difficult for me to recover then and do a show that is worthy of the job that I was hired to do. And so again, I'm sorry if you're disappointed in me. I'm sorry if you expect me to be talking about what else is happening. I understand if this is not the show that you want to listen to when there are so many other important issues that are playing out, tragedies that are playing out in our nation. I do understand that. But I know me, and I know I couldn't get through the next 4 hours if I start down a path that is distressing and upsetting. And I'm not saying to ignore it. That's not what I'm telling you. Again, ultimately, I can only tell you how I feel, and I can hope you understand that you believe it. If you don't, I mean, that's part of being in this chair. Well, not specifically this chair, because I hope I'm not in this chair forever, but you know what I'm saying. So that's why I won't be talking about what else is happening in our nation tonight. That's why I don't spend every show talking about the coronavirus. I know sometimes it makes me come across unfeeling, makes me come across like I don't care, or even worse, I'm uninformed. But I take that risk doing this job. I mean, as I say, there are times when I struggle with it because I know sports don't matter a bit. And the stupid crap I talk about, like my lawn, doesn't matter a bit in light of real life and real tragedy and real problems and real issues and real conflicts and real emotions. But this is still what I do. And if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know who I am, what I stand for, and what I do. And so, again, I wanted to just say that because I am sorry if you're disappointed in me and you would like me to go down that road and focus on something that's more important. I can't. I won't. I can't. Because I can't recover from it. And because I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. All right. So there are radio shows out there that will, not sports radio shows. There are radio shows out there that will. It's not this one. So I hope you understand. But if you don't, that's okay too. So thank you for letting me say that. As I transition into what's happening in sports, it sounds funny to say that it was a difficult day for baseball, but it really was. And I don't mean the baseball players who are holding out because they refuse to take a pay cut. That's not what I'm talking about. But you may have seen that there were hundreds, so not a handful, not tens, dozens, 50, hundreds of minor league baseball players that were cut on Thursday, and hundreds more that are expected to lose their jobs. I don't know that this is a huge surprise, but it's the finality of it, right? Minor league baseball players, when I think minor league baseball players, I think The Rookie. Do you guys remember The Rookie? Right. I think some of the baseball movies that are out there where guys kick around in, you know, in the minors, and they ride buses from site to site, and they stay in these cheap hotels or motels, and they're uncomfortable, and it's nothing like Major League Baseball. But why do guys do it? Well, because they're hoping for their shot. Now, the best of the best spend a few months in the minors. Right. I mean, the guys who can separate themselves really quickly, they don't spend a lot of time in the minors. And guys who are drafted high up, like, say, a Steven Strasburg or a Bryce Harper, or, you know, pick a prospect that made it to the majors really quickly. Those guys don't expect to spend a lot of time kicking around the minors. But I always think, whenever I think minor league baseball, I always think about late nights on the road and uncomfortable hotel beds or motel beds, and if you even stay in a motel, and a few people in the stands, and pizza as you go from one site to another. I mean, it's done for the love of the game. In many cases, I'd say the majority of minor league baseball players, they're chasing a dream. They're playing for the love of the game, and they're hoping for their shot. And there are guys that spend years in the minors believing in themselves, operating in relative anonymity, hoping and praying for that phone call to come. And then when the call comes, you hope you stick. And so this story today kind of cut right to my heart, because these are not athletes who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Maybe in some cases, a few of them got signing bonuses, but the majority of minor league baseball players are guys who are waiting for their shot. As I say, they're pursuing a dream. They're giving it everything they got to try to make it. And they're putting the rest of their lives on hold in many cases. So this would have happened toward the end of spring training. A lot of these guys would have been cut, you know, because there are only so many roster spots for minor league teams. But seeing it happen all at once, and knowing there's more coming, and knowing we're talking about 1,000+ guys who are losing this opportunity, because the minor league season is likely going to be canceled. I mean, it's not been officially canceled, but it, you know, we know that's the real possibility, and that's kind of the way baseball's going. And so, of course, these guys are worried that they'll never get another shot. Minor league teams are also laying off front office staff, workers who operate the stadiums and the grounds on game days. And again, they're saying it's because there's likely not to be a season. And so even as we talk about sports on this show, and people write to me and say, who cares about sports? There's all this other stuff happening. Well, sports are also a big business. And it's not just the athletes and the coaches, the names that you know. It's all the people whose jobs are created by the sports industry. And these are direct jobs. Prospects, stadium workers, front office staff. I mean, we saw the entire XFL declare bankruptcy and the whole thing go belly up. So there's a business and economic element to sports as well, which is, I hope, how you will see it as we talk about people losing their jobs. And these are not the same guys who are refusing to take pay cuts when they make millions of dollars. Completely different world. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Again, a tough day in baseball because they still do not have any type of an agreement. They're not anywhere close to the point at which they could agree unless there's something seismic happening behind the scenes and all of a sudden they've stopped leaking information. But we're not anywhere closer to that, despite the optimism of some who work in broadcasting. We'll definitely have a season. We're not there yet. And now you've got a, you know, minor league baseball and all these players and a lot of front office people, and just the stadiums should be dark all year long. And that's, it's tough for the people who may never get another shot at chasing their dream. On our Facebook page, too, we're always glad to have you on board. And
you are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the 0-1. Swing and a drive. Deep to left. Got a chance. There it goes. Home run! Pete Alonso has tied the rookie record for home runs. He and Aaron Judge will share the mark for now. A line drive home run by Alonso over the left field wall, well to the left of the 358 mark, number 52.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Howie Rose on the Mets Radio Network. Boy, do I hope that we are seeing Pete Alonso in his sophomore season. I can think of a dozen, and this would be in rapid fire succession, a dozen storylines from Major League Baseball that I want to watch play out on the field. And yet I don't know if we're going to have that opportunity. Now, there's still a lot of optimism out there, depending on who you ask. There's plenty of optimism about a baseball season getting onto the diamond near you. As much as it looks bleak and dark right now, and as disgusted as many of us are at the fight that's taking place between the owners and the players, there's still a lot of optimism that a season will, in fact, take place. Don't know when. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I was thinking that we might have hoops and hockey before August, so maybe by the end of July. But did you all see that NHL teams, let's see if I can make sure I quote the correct source, but NHL teams are being told that there would be no training camp. So we're not talking games here, but actual training camp wouldn't start, like, you know, like their pseudo re-warm up to get back on the ice. That wouldn't start until July 10th. At the earliest. And so it's going to be a while. I was kind of getting optimistic that we might have some hoops and hockey. Well, we don't have the basketball plan yet, but we did get this return to play plan from the NHL. So I was thinking, okay, we might actually get some hockey early in July. But as it turns out, according to reports from Sportsnet, the NHL is telling its players that phase three won't happen until at least July 10th. Okay, so this is a little bit different than, you know, what we'd kind of heard when the plan was first unveiled. It seemed like the timetable was different. Remember Commissioner Gary Bettman talked about the phase one, phase two. Well, phase three is about players getting back to a kind of a pseudo camp, almost like a warm up to be ready to jump into the round robins and those five game series. Right now, the league is still in phase one of the plan, meaning coaches and players are league mandated quarantine. They have to, if they want to be part of hockey and finishing out the playoffs, they have to go through a league mandated quarantine for a couple of weeks. Once everyone does that, now I don't know if that includes the players that have to come back from Europe, but I suspect they have to wait until everybody is back. Remember, we said to you, reports indicate that there are roughly 17% of NHL players who are not even in the United States or Canada. So they're overseas. So those guys have to get back too, and they would have to quarantine. So I think they have to wait for everyone to go through the quarantine before they can get out of phase number one. Phase number two allows for small groups to work out together. Weirdly enough, they would like that to begin in the next couple of weeks, but I don't know how that happens if you have all these athletes that have to come back from overseas. And then phase three is this training camp phase. you don't want guys to pull a hammy because they're out of shape, so they need some time to get back into shape. And then phase four is when they would actually get back to games, and we know about the round robin for the top eight by points, and then the other 16 teams would go ahead and go the best of five play-in route. So it's a different format, but hearing today that the NHL is telling its players no training camp until July 10th at the earliest, which is kind of a bummer. I guess I was expecting that it would be earlier than that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Since we haven't heard anything from the NBA, that means that it's unlikely we're going to see any basketball in July either. Now, we could, but they're on a 25-day type of ramp-up plan. You may remember this. They were thinking 11 days that they would do for individual workouts. And I know some of the guys are working out now, but like in your market, they would send players back to their markets for individual workouts and then 14 days of running full court, again, to get back into shape. It doesn't look like that's going to happen until late June at the earliest. Is this weird, right? It's a little bit weird. I mean, I'll take it whenever we can get it. But if there's no hoops or hockey playoffs until, say, the beginning of August, what do they really think they're going to get all kinds of interest once football starts? Maybe I'm naive, but we know what happens when the NFL starts. It's not a good scene for any other sport that is also operating. Bob Uessler is with us from his super secret home base. Bob, you and I are fans of other sports as well as football. But to me, it feels like if these leagues delay and push back and don't actually restart, and I'm talking NBA and NHL, until August, that they're going to run into the big bad NFL 6 weeks later. And it feels like they're wasting time right now, but what do I know? I know nothing.
Well, it really does, Amy, add an entirely different layer to, you know, horizons we've never approached. It's just really another one of these really strange circumstances we could have to embrace that, yeah, we've got postseason hockey and basketball potentially going on in the dog days of August, when normally we're looking at pennant races starting to come together. And then you're right, football preseason. It's really mind-boggling in many ways. But what hasn't been mind-boggling about everything we've endured these last few months, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's hard to even make sense of it. And I know we're going to look back on it and, you know, it's going to be an answer to a trivia question. I think you would expect it to be part of history moving forward, history books. So it'll be taught about in school when we get far enough away. We're going to be explaining to people how we lived through the pandemic of 2020, you know, kids and grandkids, yada, yada, yada. But right now in the middle of it, it seems to make zero sense. Most of it.
You're very, very much on the money. It really, to use the old cliche, you don't really see the forest for the trees yet. You're in it, you're in the middle of that forest, but you don't really know what you're looking at just yet.
Over I need to see the sun, Bob. The sun is blocked out. Where is the sun?
Nowhere to be found around here, I'll tell you that.
All right, well, I hope that you have a great weekend. Good to have you, as always, on the show. And that makes me smile that we're both in super secret locations, and yet we're coming together for beautiful radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now behind the cage is Murray, passing ahead for Chris Letang. He'll head to the bench for the extra attacker. Here's Crosby in alone. Cuts down the left wing between the hash marks on the backhand. A shot. He scores! Sidney Crosby goes top shelf on the backhand. And the Penguins score on the delay penalty to Minnesota.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Woo! It's been a long time since we've heard any hockey play-by-play. It's a couple of weeks left in the regular season when it was suspended on March 12th, and I am with you all who love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I miss them. This is supposed to be the time of the year when we frequently get heart palpitations over sudden death overtime and games that are tied deep into the third period. And we see the cream rise to the top, and we see crazy upsets in game sevens. And most recently, back-to-back champions who are winning for the first time in franchise history. In the case of the Blues and the Capitals. And so all of that we are missing. And I was a little disappointed to see the report that the NHL was telling its players there'll be no training camp, quote unquote, until July 10th at the earliest. Ah, that's still a long way to go. It's another 6 weeks-ish. Goodness. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. For CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Many of you sent us your responses to last night's football question, which was the team that you believe will make the biggest jump, the biggest leap forward, maybe worst to first, basement to penthouse in 2020. And I enjoyed reading all of your answers because, and then there were some of you who had to be blocked off the Facebook page because you insisted on using words we don't use on our Facebook page when you got into debates with other teams, other fans of rival teams. Anyway, so I know you still take it very personally, but it was fun to see all your answers. I would say there are probably half of the teams in the NFL that were represented as answers, and I'm excited about getting back to football. I just don't know how the NBA and NHL can't see that it's probably not in their best interest to be into their, say, conference finals. And I'm speculating here about at what point they might be in their playoffs. But their conference finals, let's say, they come back at beginning of August. We joke about the NFL preseason, right? We like to make it the punchline to our jokes. But a lot of people tune into those games, and it's our taste of football, right? We've missed it, and we're getting it back. And I think especially this year, if preseason takes place with no fans, at least initially, it'll be this weird novelty. I mean, think about what happened with the NFL draft. 55 million people over 3 days. 55 million people for a draft that was conducted completely virtually. The NBA and the NHL don't want to mess with the NFL's return. So I understand the health and safety concerns, and those are the most important things, but I'm not really sure why they're pushing it out so far. It feels like they'd want to get back as early as possible, as long as they could safely. But July 10th is another 6 weeks. If they only need 2 weeks of quarantine, maybe 3 weeks of training camp, but they're saying no training camp for 6 weeks. Wow. 855-212-4227. Yet again, another reason why baseball needs to step in, and yet baseball can't get out of its own way. We'll explain the latest here coming up. But Jeff is listening in Dallas. Jeff, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy.
Hey.
Thanks for all you do. You never have to apologize for who you are, because you can tell over the radio that you're real, and you provide relief from the daytime sports talk that can get kind of heavy at times, so thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And my question is, I was listening to the deputy commissioner of the NHL the other morning, and I believe he said that Gary Bettman had talked to the president when he had all the heads of the union of the baseball, of the sports leagues mm-hmm. in the White House, or virtually in the White House, and I believe he said that Bettman asked President Trump if something could be done about the players coming back from overseas.
Yes.
And I think that Trump had said that they would make some exceptions for the foreign hockey players.
Well, make exceptions to bring them back into the country, yes. And it's not just hockey. There are some basketball players that are overseas as well, like Luka Doncic is a great example. Getting them back, sure, meaning like they can get back into the United States even if the borders are closed or there are travel restrictions. But it doesn't mean they don't have to quarantine when they get here. So they do if they're coming from other countries. Same thing as like if an American would go to Canada right now, they would have to quarantine for 2 weeks and vice versa. And so it's not as though the borders are completely closed where nobody can come and go, but there is a restriction and a limitation for when you get here, what you can do and where you can go. You're supposed to isolate for 2 weeks just in case you have the virus or you're bringing it with you.
Oh, I see. I must have misunderstood when they were talking about it. But okay, well, that's the only question I had. But thank you again for all you do.
You're welcome, sir. Good to talk to you in Dallas. Yeah, he's right. Jeff is right that the commissioners and the heads of various sports leagues and organizations got together with White House officials. I don't know if I know that the president had spoken to some of them. I'm not sure if this was a video conference call when they were with the president or if it was the vice president. But they did ask for the help of the White House to get athletes back into the country. So initially, when the travel restrictions were laid out, this is going back now a couple of months, Americans were supposed to be able to get back into the country. But then they were kind of giving them time, like, hey, you better get your rear ends back here because, you know, we're going to end up having the borders closed and it's going to get a lot more difficult. Now, I think what they were asking for the White House is help with the travel portion of it, but it doesn't mean you don't have to follow the quarantine rules or the isolation rules when you get back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You may have seen this on Thursday. Uber agent, super agent, very rich baseball agent Scott Boras is telling his clients, which includes Mike Trout, Garrett Cole, Boras actually represents 71 players as of last summer, which is more than any other agent or agency out there. And just for reference, a point of reference, his company, so it's him and he has other agents that work with him and for him. They negotiated more than $1.2 billion. It's the B word. $1.2 billion in contracts during the last offseason. Technically, it's still the offseason, but you know what I mean. $1.2 billion. So he has his finger in a lot of different baseball pies and represents the likes of Mike Trout, Garrett Cole, two of the richest players in baseball. He is telling his clients in an email that the Associated Press was able to get a hold of that players should not agree to any altered, changed, renegotiated terms of the agreement that they already have in place, which is that they will be paid prorated salaries, right? So it's easy to remember, you get paid for the games you play. You don't get paid for the games you don't play, which to me is a big fat duh. So they negotiated that agreement. Baseball players agreed that they would only take the money for the actual games played going way back to March. Now, of course, baseball owners are looking at a season in which they maybe lose half of their revenue. They would like to see the players take pay cuts, and the Scott Boras clientele, 70-something of them, they're getting an email that they should toe the line. This is from the email. This is actually what Boras wrote to his clients. Remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to, or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated.
So I immediately regret this decision.
He is saying, stand firm, stay united, don't blink. But the issue is, and I know for his clients, he represents the upper echelon. He represents the Richie Riches for the most part. So for his clients, it's easier to miss out on an entire season where there are a lot of guys out there who are making far less than Mike Trout and Gerrit Cole. For instance, you know, you've got minimum salaries out there for guys that, you know, like not even making a half mil. Now, to you and me, that's a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of professional athletes, we're talking minimum wage. So the salaries for the major league minimum are $563,000, but of course they're cut in half for the season because they're probably only going to play half the games, if that many. So their prorated salaries would drop them to $285,000. And then they would get to keep most of their salaries based on these sliding pay cuts that baseball is proposing. So it's not taking money from the guys who are paid the least. They'd only lose about $20,000 under these sliding pay cuts that the owners are proposing, right? So the minimum wage guys are making $285,000. With the pay cut, they'd make $262,000. We talked about Mike Trout and Gerrit Cole, both of whom Gerrit Cole is a Boris client. So he's scheduled to make $18 million if they play half the games, and he would drop down to, six-ish million. It's just hard to identify with. It's hard to have empathy for either side, really. But I'm sad for baseball because it has an opportunity to fill this void in July if it can get back on the diamond. There won't be anything else outside of golf and NASCAR, and baseball has this incredible opportunity. And yet, sounds like they're going to squander it away if Scott Boras has anything to do with it. Hey, did you see that Texas Governor Greg Abbott is letting fans attend sporting events at 25% capacity? Only outdoor stadiums, no, not domes. Not AT&T Stadium, likely, because that's indoors. Not the new baseball stadium, but at least it's progress in the state of Texas. Good to have you on board. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.